We have a guest right now on the line who is a representative or a spokesperson of the Toronto Community Mobilization Network. And joining us right now to talk on the Word of Mouth Wednesday is Adonis El Jamal. Hello, Adonis.
Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Hi. Oh, not bad. Thanks for joining us here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. And
my pleasure.
Oh, yeah, and I just wanted to ask you about, because I got this press release released yesterday. The title is Over 100 Cops Attend Community Press Conference, and it's from the Toronto G20 Mobilization Network. Adonis, what happened yesterday?
Well, yesterday the Toronto Community Mobilization Network was holding a press conference to expose the fact that CSIS agents, RCMP, the Toronto Police, have been visiting and harassing known activists as well as everyday Canadians, which is something that happens all the time. But there have been over 30 incidents of police and CSIS agents visiting people's homes. And so we wanted to highlight this fact along and connected with the fact that this happens to people in exploited and marginalized communities across the GTA every single day who face police brutality and police intimidation, similar to what activists are seeing simply for speaking out. So what we wanted to do was to highlight this fact and show this to the general public and also to shed this stereotype that the fear mongers and the media and the police are trying to make that, you know, that they should be afraid of so-called protesters. But I think the point is that protesters are people. And I don't exactly know what a protester is other than a person who's pissed off about what's going on in the world.
For real. And so I guess the shocking thing of this was that there was the sheer numbers of cops compared to people attending.
Yeah, it was actually pretty funny to see because it just proved our point for us, right? Like, mm-hmm. We're simply holding a press conference and there were more police than media. And, you know, and it was only the police that we could see along with the plain clothes cops standing around as usual, who come to our events, come to our meetings. Where they are not welcome. They're often asked to leave and they refuse to do so, or they wait outside and they try to harass people leaving on their own and targeting individuals when they're not accompanied by their fellow comrades.
Right, and what was the purpose, I guess, or what was the message that you're trying to get across in the press conference?
Well, as I was saying before, we wanted to, show that the police, that these are the activities that the police and CSIS are engaged in, and also the fact that this is nothing new, right? This, mm-hmm. this is happening to activists simply because the G20 is coming to town, you know, and they're spending $1 billion on a overinflated security budget, and they need any excuse to justify it. So they're trying to, you know, make innocent, ordinary people appear to be dangerous thugs, whereas we're not the ones who carry guns when we go to work. So, and also the fact that, you know, the misinformation is being spread through the media, that they should be afraid of what's going to happen to their city in Toronto. And I think we should all be afraid because, you know, they're going to be turning this city and giving us a glimpse of what people in the global south face every day in terms of checkpoints, military officers on the streets with assault rifles, 15,000 or so armed guards that are going to be patrolling the streets. And this is simply because people are upset that G20, one of the most destructive institutions in the world, is coming to town to deliberate on how to mess up the world even more.
Right, and at the press conference, I know for the press conference yesterday, you were down at downtown, you know, you're in the downtown core. Did you see any of the fences going up?
Where we were was actually just outside of the convention center, as you know, where will be the so-called red zone, where Torontonians will be no longer able to go to. So if you want to take a stroll to the harbor front, you're not going to be able to do that in the next few weeks. And so we saw this ridiculous fence that's about 9 meters high or so, and just police everywhere. I was stopped on the way there. I had to say that I was a member of the press or they weren't going to let me through. It was quite the sight to see, given that this is all over a 2-day party for the richest people in the world.
Wow! So you're saying you were stopped before getting to the conference?
That's right. About at Front Street and Bremner or Front Street and Lower Simcoe, there was a cop directing traffic, and no one was allowed to pass through there. So,
wow.
And this is only going to get worse as by the time we left, the fence was even bigger. Mm-hmm. It's only going to get bigger and worse. And so, this is no big deal because this is what people face every day. If you go to places like Regent Park, mm-hmm. Jane and Finch, you know, people, youth, and people of color. And marginalized people are face this every day. They're harassed and intimidated by police on their way to school, stopped and given these so-called routine checks. Junior Manon, a youth who was actually shot and killed by Toronto police about just under a month ago. And you don't hear a word about that in the media. But so we see that this repression is being taken place on the poor and those who advocate for them.
Right, right. And there's all this stuff's going on. And, you know, there's something I saw on the G20TorontoMobilize.org, the website, Toronto Community Mobilization website. After this, I saw this this main press headline from yesterday, but then there was also another article on there that I saw what was talking about 28 tracked incidents since the 21st of February 2010, 28 incidents of police, I guess, talking with or trying to get information from activists that are concerned about the G20. Do you know anything about these 28 incidents or what this was about?
I'm not going to really expose people's privacy, but I can tell you, some of the, like I was saying before, people have had them walking in on their meetings. I was in a meeting where an RCMP officer and a CSIS agent showed up claiming that they wanted to work with us and blah, 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 blah. And when we asked them to leave, they waited outside for about 3 hours while the meeting went on. We have a person who was stopped in front of his apartment building and was given all sorts of labels that he was being accused of promoting terrorism and asked all these weird questions about what he thinks about authority and then his family members were actually threatened of their status. It's a really interesting what's taking place right now. And like I said, this goes on all the time. Non-status workers, temporary migrant workers who live in Toronto. There's been incidents where at Dufferin Mall, in Dufferin Mall where Canadian border agents are taking people's IDs, and if people don't have landed status, they're being rounded up and deported.
Well, So this is why I think that it's good that there is this community mobilization network, a network of groups that has come together just to try to get the word out on this G20. What are some of the things that the Toronto Community Mobilization Network is planning for this G20 coming up?
Well, I'd like to maybe clarify that we're a network. We're not actually planning any of the actions, but we're facilitating and coordinating the events that others are holding, and so
nice.
We're providing logistical support. We're going to be providing a meal at every single action, legal support for people who are roughed up or harassed by police or arrested and detained for no reason, media and communication support. We've been doing all the outreach, knocking on doors and getting the word out to people in Toronto. There's a whole range of events, really. It's going to be starting on the 18th and 19th with the People's Summit. This is an idea taken from the Copenhagen Climate Summit, where ordinary activists and people just said, we don't believe in the legitimacy of these big institutions. We know that they don't have our interests in mind, and that if we want to change this world and make it better, we need to come together and on a collective basis, find the solutions and work to make real changes. So you're going to see the People's Summit with various workshops on a whole range of issues, ranging from anti-war and occupation to issues of poverty, the environment, migrant justice, indigenous sovereignty, and that's going on at Ryerson University. You can, if you want the website for that, I think it's peoplesummit.org, but you can also go to our website and you'll find more on that. And then going into the week from the 21st to the 24th, it's the build-up. We have the theme Days of Resistance, so each day, different theme. At 1 p.m., actually, there will be an event at 25 Cecil Street at the Steelworkers Hall, raising awareness about Harper's attacks on reproductive rights at home and abroad. You saw that Bev Oda, the minister who was at the G20 summit, meetings at Halifax, who said that they're not going to be funding maternal health. So we're going to be getting a bit more about this. And then later that day at 2 p.m., there will be a march titled All Out in Defense of the Rights of All, happening 2 p.m. at Allen Gardens, which is just at Carlton and Sherbourne Street. Also that same day, time and location to be announced, there's going to be creative civic transformations in street theater highlighting gender justice. And so all over the city, be prepared to see some surprises and some interesting creative stuff going on. There's so much more happening that evening. There's going to be a roving kiss-in. So look out for that. If you want more information, go to queerg20resistance@gmail.com. That was on the 22nd. On the 23rd, there's going to be a toxic tour of Toronto happening at 11 a.m., meeting at Bathurst and Dundas Street. So you'll get the, I guess, the lowdown of Toronto because, you know, we love to pretend it's such a clean and happy place, but there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. Mm-hmm. The 23rd at 7 p.m., which is the Wednesday, there's going to be a People's Assembly on Climate Justice, talking about the recent Cochabamba Summit in Bolivia that was the People's Summit on Climate Change. The next day, Thursday the 24th, is actually a National Day of Action for Indigenous Sovereignty and Indigenous Rights. So all people that stand in solidarity with the native people of this land should be coming out to that. It's there's going to be a nationally coordinated protest, and so people will be gathering at 11 a.m. at Queen's Park. That same night, there's going to be an event again at the Steelworkers Hall at 8 called Confronting the Invasion, and that's going to be talking about the indigenous struggles of people in the global south, so places like Chile, Bolivia, countries like that. And then so moving into the weekend when the summit takes place, you know that the G8 will be meeting in Huntsville. I don't think it's worth our time to be driving up all the way to Cottage Country just to shout at a bunch of leaders who don't care about us. So we're going to be staying in town, and there's going to be a mass community march happening at 2:30 p.m., Allen Gardens, which is also Carlton Street, just between Jarvis and Sherbourne. The banner would be Justice for Our Communities, and it's going to be a huge demonstration highlighting the local struggles in Toronto, so anti-poverty, migrant justice, ending economic ties with Israeli apartheid. It's going to be really a diverse and vibrant action. There's going to be a block party at Tent City, and a meal will be served. And then going into the Saturday, there's the big labor march happening at Queen's Park at 1 p.m. Billed as People's First, We Deserve Better. So groups like Greenpeace and the Canadian Labor Congress will be marching, and all those in solidarity with these groups will be there as well. And then at the same time, there will be a militant solidarity march called Get Off the Fence, where folks who want to do the whole labor solidarity thing but want to get a bit closer to the summit, we'll be marching from Queen's Park. Again, that's also at 1 o'clock at Queen's Park. And then that night, there's going to be a radical street party known as Saturday Night Fever. I'm actually looking forward to this. It's going to be a roaming street party throughout the city of Toronto. The location hasn't been posted yet, so I urge everyone to just keep your ear to the street, and you'll find out more about that. And then the 27th, the Sunday, there's a call for autonomous direct action. So all of you listening at home, get creative. If you want to do whatever, do it on that day. There's also going to be, later in the day, there will be a prisoner solidarity march at Bruce Mackey Park, which is in the East End at Dundas and Wardell, fireworks for prison. And then there's also going to be a make-believe tea party at Queen's Park at 3:33 p.m., on the Sunday the 27th. And so I just listed a whole bunch of stuff for you. Hopefully the listeners at home were able to catch that. But if not, go to the website, g20.torontomobilize.org. There's tons of stuff on there, lots of cool links to get the information that you're not getting from the mainstream media.
Great, yeah, and it's a lot of stuff coming up with this G20, a lot of great events, and we're hopefully going to check out some of those for the Word of Mouth Wednesday and cover what's going on and Thanks a lot, Adani Eljamal, for joining us today.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure. And I'll see everyone in the streets.
All right. Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
That was Adani Eljamal of the Toronto Community Mobilization Network joining us over the phone to talk about, you know, some of what's going on. G20 coming to town, G8's going to be north, and, you know, a lot of things, a lot of changes we're seeing coming to Toronto.